Blog Talk Radio.
On the 24th of February, looks like there's four more days after this, 2015. I was just kind of perusing the headlines of today, and I was just talking to my buddy Doug, who we've had on here before and had a good time laughing. You know, I tell you what, laughter is medicine to the soul, and if you can't laugh, I mean, we have to be able to. And I'm not talking about laughing at bad things or laughing at tragedies. I'm just saying if we just can't laugh, we just have to be able to laugh. But looking at these headlines, it's just not a laughing matter. There's just not a laugh to be had about it. I mean, when you have the Mall of America told that, by the way, the Mall of America is a gun-free zone. And that's just an amazing thing. When some people that we don't even know in Somalia, a country probably everybody that listens to this program has never been to, although you may have been, but probably a chance you never have been there. In fact, there's probably some people that do not know where Somalia is, don't even know where it's at, and they have threatened to kill people in Minnesota. And for that matter, all around the country, wherever these malls. My buddy and I were just talking, Doug and I were just talking. We know that there were 3,000 or so people, you know, that were slaughtered on 9/11. Now let's look at something. That's horrendous. We've had no more tragedies since then in 2001. So here we have, you know, 14 years we haven't had, praise God, haven't had that same kind of a thing. But what would happen if they had a collective effort of terrorists and just a number of them, but two or three terrorists in, let me say it correctly, Muslim terrorists in all 50 states, and let's say 10 cities in each state, 10 cities in each state, so that would be 500 cities, and at a concerned or a concentrated time, let's just say whatever time it was, and it was the same time across, so it would be 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, so it would all happen at the same moment, and those three or four people killed just three or four people or 10 people. Those three or four killed 10 in 500 cities at the same time. The news cycle wouldn't know which one to report. Do you report the South Dakota, the North Dakota? Do you report the Washington, Oregon, California, Rhode Island, Maine, Connecticut, New Jersey? Which one do you report? It would be utter chaos, utter insanity, even on a smaller scale than that. But do you realize that it would be almost twice as many people killed as it were on 9/11, and it would be spread across the whole country, and it could easily happen. So the point is, terrorism, let's boil it down for a minute, it's striking terror into people's hearts. So even the fact that it might happen, here's what's odd. They make that threat, and maybe they have nobody in place to do that. But the threat has been made, now people are nervous, people are just scared about it. We need to wake up and realize that this is a progression of events that has been progressing since the start of time, as it were. And it's not something that's going to go back. It's not something that's going to reset. We're not going to reset and go, okay, we can start over now. We've got that all taken care of. Now we can start over and kind of get back on track. For what? And for what purpose? What's the end goal? What's the end game of the whole thing? So we can't do that. We have to go forward. We have to go forward. And that's just at where we have to go. So as we've seen that there is a verification of Christ's credentials in this book, 1 John, what is he, Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, what is he telling us about, sharing with us, and causing us to be aware of? Well, believe it or not, I covered this just about 2 years ago on this radio program. And the reason I know that is I write notes in my Bible, and I see that it was actually just shy of 2 years ago on 5/15 of 2013. So here we are, just about 2 years later, and I'm going to tell you again why and what this whole thing is about. And again, the title of our program is How to Live According to God's Word in Today's World. The same way as everyone who before us has become Christians has lived. We're living in a different society, and we are living closer to the return of Christ. As I was talking with Doug, he said, I thought it was, you know, maybe 30 years off, and I'm looking at it going, yeah, I don't know. And he goes, I don't know either. Maybe it's not. Maybe his return's a lot sooner. Ultimately, here is what he has given us. Chapter 5, verse 13. It's nice when you get to the bottom line and find out why someone writes you a letter or someone tells you something. Look what he said. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. I'm going to stop right there for a minute and just say, okay, look. None of us that are alive today has seen Jesus personally. Now, there's a lot of clowns out there that tell you they've had visions that they've had that were actually... It wasn't a vision, that was real. People have told people they've gone to heaven, they've talked to Jesus, they've walked with Jesus, they've touched his hand, they see how tall he is, and all of that stuff. And it's just, I'm waiting for now it to be disproven in some dramatic way, and then the people will say, well, I misspoke. I read that this morning about the new Secretary of the Veterans Administration, who said he misspoke when he was talking to a homeless veteran. A street homeless veteran, and the veteran said that he had been Special Forces, 82nd Airborne Division, and the guy said, Special Forces, where, when? And he told him, and he said, no, I was Special Forces, you know. And well, he wasn't. And so he had to say today, I misspoke. I just can't believe it that I've lived that long. What it used to be called, just in case you're missing it, was... I lied. See, not I misspoke, but I lied. More letters, bigger word, kind of gives you a pass. I lied. That's what he did, was lie, if you want to get bottom line about it. He lied. That is so prevalent today to change phrases. We want to be Christ followers. No, there was a whole lot of Christ followers. And in fact, in John chapter 6, when Jesus said, this is it, this is where the rubber meets the road. You better be willing to drink of this cup. You better be willing to do this. You better be willing to eat my flesh, drink my blood. In other words, you better be all in. I mean, it's all in. It could cost you everything to love me and to serve me. And many of them that were following him turned and followed him no longer. That's why when I heard, the first time I heard somebody say, well, I'm a Christ follower, it got me. It just set me sideways, and I haven't been able to recover from that and go, well, okay, I understand. Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled, he said, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Okay? And what he said before that, you know, you got to, here's what he said. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. So he's saying, what? Before that, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. They were so dull that they thought he was talking about cannibalism, and he had nothing to do with that. So he said, you guys, the words that I'm speaking to you are spirit. Verse 64, but there are some of you who did not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him, following him anymore. John chapter 6, verse 66. As a result of what Jesus said to them, the commitment level that he was requiring, many withdrew and followed him no more. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, don't you want to go away also? Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Think about it. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So that's us. We haven't met him. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen him face to face. Those I just talked about had. And they were solid. But many of them just flaked. We can't flake if we believe in the Son and the name of the Son of God. And he wrote these things, watch this, in order that you may know. In order that you may know. People go, how can I know this? How can I know it's true? In order that you may know you have eternal life. There's two phrases there. Know that you have eternal life. It's not temporary. It isn't taken away because you had a bad thought. It isn't taken away because you had a bad week, month, year, or even decade, or even your whole life, except for that moment when you meant business with God. He means business with you. Now, the point is, if you know you have eternal life, it's not something you lose. Now, if you go out and live a life that is not exemplary of what you want to do, in other words, I pursue holiness, I pursue righteousness, I fail miserably, but I pursue that, then you know that you have eternal life. He does not come to give temporary life or a nice feeling or a wonderful happy day. He came that you might have, that I might have, eternal life. If you look at the headlines of today, you can go, wow. What my buddy Doug said when he called, he said, hey, you know what? It's just as bad as you've said. It's just as bad as you've said. I'm trying to be a bad news bringer or a Debbie Downer or a soothsayer of weirdness. But we need to know things are not great. Things are not positive and happy. People get diseases. It's horrible. People get hurt. People get maimed. People get mistreated. There's just a myriad of things that you can say. This information was written by John to the early believers, to any believer, to all of us. In this beautiful word says, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, that's Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, God in the flesh, this miraculous situation. I was just watching a video recently, just in the last few days. I didn't complete the whole thing yet, but just listening to what some of the early founding fathers, now I'm not talking about the pilgrims and those that came for religious persecution, but I'm talking about the founding fathers in the late 1700s, 1800s, what these guys were actually about. And a good percentage of them did not believe in Jesus the way the Word of God teaches. In fact, many of them, one of them being the chief, being Thomas Jefferson, despised Christianity. And it's so sad that we don't get to see any of that information out there. There have always been Christians. And they've been in government, they've been doctors, they've been lawyers, they've been in all kinds of positions and jobs and places and obscure people and very public people who love Jesus and know Christ and are born again. And some of them have a very jaded, dark past, well-known and some of it hidden and then brought out. But the bottom line is that we have the comfort of knowing that Jesus came so that we could have eternal life. He died so that we could have eternal life. He rose from the dead, having victory over the grave. The grave cannot hold him. We do not die that second. We don't die and go away and to eternal punishment. Everyone who does not know Jesus, who, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. So no matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on, no matter how many millions and billions you have, no matter how much power and position you have in this life, you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, a real relationship that guarantees you, because you've received his free gift that he paid for with his blood, if you don't have that, you are not going to go to heaven. You're not going to be in the presence of God for all eternity. And it will not, you will not fare well. You will not fare well. People may say farewell to you, but the answer to that is no, you will not fare well. So God has given us this assurance of our eternal life. It's odd because it's one verse there kind of tucked in at the end of this letter. We're going to go on a little bit more tomorrow about prayer and freedom. But the last part of this particular letter written by John is really interesting because it talks about freedom from habitual sin. And I think that probably everybody listening to this program, the two people in this room, me and my wife, that's really where we are in our life. We want to stay away from any kind of habitual sin, whatever sin kind of gets you and makes you, feel like you're less of a Christian or not even a Christian or whatever, the sin that besets you. In other words, it could be anything. It could be anger, it could be greed, it could be lust, it could be, they're just read any sin you can find in the scripture. It could be any one of those. And your desire is to want to do it. Many people come from really poor backgrounds. Most Christians, not all, because some people have come to know Christ at a very young age and served him their whole life. And I've always said, and I'll continue to say, that's the most awesome testimony. If someone who comes to Christ at a young age and doesn't have to wade through the mud holes that many of us have waded through and played around in and stayed in and lived in and thought it was okay. This one small verse, chapter 5, verse 13, tells us why. Not only these things, and I look at that and I go, okay, this is a letter that he wrote. John wrote two more letters that were in this series of three letters. There may have been more. There definitely were conversations between all these people that are not recorded in Scripture. People talked. People, made tents and just talked about general things, maybe the weather, maybe certain foods that they had. They just talked. But in all reality, we boil it down to, what is it all about? What is life all about? What is this all about? What are things all about? What matters? So he writes a bunch of things to these people about all the stuff that's going on. And he says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may, in order that, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you know that you have eternal life. Not you might get it someday. It's possible to attain to a place where you can obtain eternal life someday, but you already have it in Christ. If, here's the kicker, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, and if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe Jesus is the Messiah, more than that, he's your Messiah, and you've received him as your Messiah, and you submit yourself, hold your hands up, surrender to God, that's where the victory is won. That's where the victory will be won. So tomorrow we're going to look a little bit about prayer and to guidance in prayer. I think a lot of us need that. He's given a little bit of information here, just a small amount of information that we could probably use for each one of our lives in our prayer life. And then on Thursday we're going to look at, he talks about freedom from habitual sin. And I think that's really where most of us are. It's not some new sin. We need to see something. We know. We go, I'm not getting involved in that. I don't want to go down that road. But something that has beset you from maybe before you were a Christian, or something that's new, that has never been there and you didn't really know, and then you find yourself all of a sudden there. It's interesting. When I was, 40, 50 years ago, people smoked. They smoked in movies. They smoked in restaurants. They smoked everywhere. Everywhere people smoked cigarettes. And then one day we kind of woke up and thought, I don't know why it took so long because there's been, sharp people forever. But why it took so long is I go, if I take this stuff that's burning and I suck it into my lungs and I blow it out, probably isn't good, because everybody's known that people die in fires not from being burnt to death and not from the lack of oxygen, but from what's called smoke inhalation. Most people are overcome by smoke inhalation and then die. And, of course, they're burnt and everything. But the smoke is not good to go into your lungs. And, we would sit around with little sticks and put them in our mouth and smoke and put it into your lungs and blow it out. We've realized that that's not a good plan. That isn't really a healthy thing to do. Well, I wish we could look around and see the other things that are not good for us, and maybe we should stop doing them. And I think that if we look into the scriptures and says, oh, well, I have this habitual thing I do all the time, and I don't want to do it. What's the way? How can I have freedom from that? We're going to look at that. That's on Thursday. Tomorrow, we're going to look at some guidance and prayer, just a couple little things to help us in our prayer time. So I pray for everybody listening to this program. I pray that you are blessed beyond your wildest dreams. I pray you follow your heart into the Word of God and listen and understand and know you can read these things. And by them, you can know that you have eternal life in Christ if you've believed in Him. Lord, I pray for all the people listening. Those that don't know you that listen to this program, I pray they come to know you personally, have a relationship with you, and it grows every single day. Those that do know you, I pray you strengthen them. Those that are hurting, those that are physically hurting, emotionally hurting, spiritually hurting, that you'll touch them by the power of your Holy Spirit, and you'll minister to them, and then minister to them. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory for what you've done, what you're doing right this moment, what you're about to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll see you guys tomorrow at 11 o'clock.